Today's program has been brought to you by Heritage Foods USA, the nation's largest distributor of heritage breed pigs and turkeys. For more information, visit heritagefoodsusa.com.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Good evening, everybody. This is Paul Gerard. Welcome to another episode of Eating Disorder.
Woo!
Come on, girls.
Surrounded by a lot of lovely ladies here tonight.
I do declare.
Let me to welcome my co-host, Adam Velez.
How y'all doing?
And sitting in for the Reverend Spiro tonight, we have our producer, the lovely Orla Clark.
Hello, everyone.
We're always trying to get her in here, and she never wants to come in, and now...
Only when she wants to yell at us.
And this week, I've taken over. I've brought all the women in with me.
All the women, yeah.
We're going to sage this place. It's like a feminine saging. We're done with the sausage party. Bring on the vagina monologue.
It's about to get 50 shades of gray in here.
I want to see what the swear jar looks like at the end. I mean,
Well, all I know is I got a new pair of Chanel out of it last week, so...
Oh, I need to do this more often.
Yeah.
So we have Kitty Asta...
Kitty,
How many years have I known you, Paul?
I always just call you Kitty.
I call her Kitten.
Kitty Ostapowicz.
Kitty Ostapowicz. Spell it.
Ostapowicz.
There's a certain irony in
Kitty Ostapowicz.
There's an irony in having a barmaid's, like a really amazing bartender's name that you can't say when you're drunk. Never mind sober.
It's usually like, hey, Kitty, hey.
But you can slur Miss Kitty pretty easily.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a perfect bar name, I think.
Yeah. Everyone's like, have you seen Gunsmoke? Yeah.
We also have Sarah Bigelow with us from the Meat Hook.
Hi.
She is the manager, and you're also a butcher, yes?
Yep.
Fantastic. Thanks for coming.
That's my equivalent to a girl who plays bass. That's like a female butcher, a girl butcher. That's one of the sexiest things.
That's pretty sexy.
That's a sexy
Fortunately
profession.
For Sarah, there are like two seats between her and
I. I know, right? Thankfully.
It's not that kind of show.
And I'm not covered in like pig fat and beef blood right now,
well,
so probably a little
can you
less
go
attractive.
Out and come back?
Yeah, definitely. Get some of that.
Pig fat, a new fragrance by
and
Gucci.
And she could butcher you quickly, Adam.
Easily.
And we also have Ingrid Wright.
Hey, guys.
Is the chef and partner at Italian Kitchen here in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, ladies, for coming down. We wanted to give everybody here a moment to shine a little light on what it's like for females in the industry, the good, the bad, the ugly. So here's your time. Go.
Well, I think the reason as well that we wanted to get the ladies down this evening is that there's a very sort of... in the media, a lot of the time, it's very like, other women don't like other women. And that's really not how it is. Like, we want to celebrate the women who are, like, trailblazing and doing things a bit differently. And Kitty is, like, the most, as well as being a phenomenal actress and producer, is an extraordinary bartender. Like, I've never been so drunk so fast without knowing what was happening.
Is this lemonade? Is this it's lemonade? Just keep sipping.
She gets right to my heart. She gets right to my heart.
I was always in, I never really saw it from the sausage factory kind of point of view, because when I was coming up, the women that I worked for some of the top female chefs in the country. I worked for Susan Spicer, I worked for Ann Kearney, and I spent a lot of time with these women who were very powerful and very well respected in the industry. And then Ingrid, you used to be my sous chef.
Yes,
I'm sure.
For a long time.
I was like, oh Jesus, I'm going to have Kitty and Ingrid on it.
7 years of torture.
Oh, come on.
And he's made me the badass that I am, though.
That's awesome.
No, but I don't take shit from nobody, and everybody knows that I'm not playing. And I always remember Paul right behind me, talk to them, don't take it from them.
And Kitty was also, you ran the bar and did all the cocktails at Exchange Alley when I was still there, when we were all still there.
Yeah, I got it up and running. We had the challenge of being a beer and wine only bar, so I went ahead and made some very unique sake, wine, and beer-based cocktails that were, they didn't pack as much of a punch, but Travis and I found this really great sake. It was, I think it was called Double Barrel. And it was up to the maximum proof that we could have, which I believe was 48 proof, yeah. And so, yeah, we had like a really unique individual cocktail list that I think it drew a fair amount of attention.
It didn't pack a punch, but like a lady would smack the shit out of you. I'll smack you around.
It was fun.
You could have twice as much.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll scratch you up.
But it's like eating snack wells. You know, you eat two boxes.
I don't even think that, though, because like when I would have those sake cocktails, and I don't know if any of you can hear, but I'm Irish. So.
She's not drunk. She's just Irish.
So that harp, you know, that I can drink with the best of them, and I was often legless on the basis of like this very delicious sake cocktail that I'd had nine of, thinking that it wasn't packing a punch.
Oh, no, until, it's in there.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, they were phenomenal.
You put lemongrass in anything, it'll taste delicious. It'll suck it down real good.
Yeah.
So let's see. You know, I don't want to approach this from a point of view of like, you know, it's all bad, because it's not. I mean, you're all in the business and you've all probably experienced some good and some bad. But you know, just from in your own words, what do you think some of the good parts, some of the hardships? How about you, Sarah? You want to start?
Sure. Yeah, I've kind of stopped telling people what I do unless I'm pressed, because the first thing you get is you're a lady, you're a butcher, you're a lady, but
you play bass,
but you're a lady, but you're a butcher. That's pretty hot. And
so it's a good thing.
No, it's actually not, because doing demos and teaching classes, things like that, being told like, oh, it's so sexy, you're a woman with a knife, is actually kind of undermining, because I've definitely taught classes where I think it's gone really well. I think everyone's, you know, been engaged and learned a lot, and you know, people seem really excited, and then having someone come up at the end of that and say like, wow, you can cut up your boyfriend, is a little bit of a bummer, because you know, it's like, oh, I thought I was just a teacher, and instead I'm a lady teacher.
Yeah. Right, it's always finished with, oh, you're a butcher, it's pretty good
for a girl butcher. Yes, yes. Yeah, so it's that can be a little stressful.
Well, it's offensive, because somebody's saying, oh, isn't she the cutest little butcher?
Well, I was bringing up the other day to one of the other women that I work with is that you would never go up to one of the guys I work with and say, oh my God, you're a guy with a knife. You would cut up your girlfriend. She better not piss you off, because you could butcher, you would cut up your living girlfriend. But wow. People do say that to me, like, oh, your boyfriend better not get you angry, little girl with a knife, because you'll cut him up.
I heard Lorena Bobbitt was a butcher. Well, she moonlighted.
See, that would be, but it would be insane to say that to a man.
Well, before I moved to New York as well, I toured with different bands for a really, really long time. And how I got into the industry was actually in the catering side of things. Mm-hmm. And we would do all the cooking for the bands on the road. And, you know, you'd be like one of two women. And for some reason, like, me baking meant that somebody could hug me in a way that they would never hug my chef. I'd be like, I'm not really sure what this apple tart has to do with you putting your hand in my ass right now. Yeah, but it needs to stop.
Like, sweet.
Aww.
That was cake boss, you wouldn't be hugging me right now.
We had this one amazing chef on tour with us. She was just this phenomenal chef. Like, she could literally make the best things out of nothing. And she was in the kitchen one day, and this really creepy guy on tour comes up behind her, and he's like, starts rubbing her shoulders while she's chopping fennel. You know, she's like, la 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 la, fennel. She doesn't even miss a beat. She doesn't look up from what she's doing. Nothing. She just goes, I'm here to cook your food, not suck your cock. And the entire kitchen like just goes quiet, and he walks out, and then it's like this officer and a gentleman moment where everyone's like, yes, you're the slow best motion woman ever.
There was one person clapping first slowly in the background, followed by a round of applause.
But it would never happen, you know, like the idea that somebody would come up to Sarah and be like, you're the cutest little butcher. It's like, well, the fact that she's cute, does that really deter from the fact that she can like disassemble a pig better than anybody else?
We have some cute guys too, but they don't get
the same.
It's a different reaction.
So Sarah, how did you get your start? Because it's a very unique thing for a woman to do.
Well, the cool thing is we actually work with a lot of women, so I don't want to overplay the women as a butcher kind of thing, because we work with a lot of other. I work with a lot of other women.
You definitely see it a lot more now than you used to.
You do, and there are a couple of women that own a butcher shop and run it in L.A. There are women butchers all over in New York, Los Angeles, Chicago, all over the place. So I don't by any means mean to say that I'm the only one at all. But I started by looking for apprenticeships, and met my boss, Tom, who's lovely, when he was very drunk, and convinced him
sounds
to...
Sounds like Paul.
Yeah. you meet a really, really drunk guy and ask him if you can come work for him. He's like, yeah, sure, whatever, you're fine. And then he forgot that I was going to show up, so I did.
Nice.
And got there, and he's like, I had no idea who you are or why you're here, but sure, fine, okay, I guess I said you could come by. So then I just kept showing up, and eventually they gave me a job.
What got you interested in that in the first place? Were you cooking?
No, not at all. I was in PR, so I did wine and spirits
A different
PR.
Form of butchering.
Yeah.
Sort of something. A lot of spin. It was really, yeah, it was a fun time. Actually, that's how I got to go to Ireland for St. Patrick's Day. That was pretty cool.
I'm amazed you came back.
It was a fun time. I basically just started apprenticing there. And doing PR at the same time, working at an office job for 5 days a week, and then working at the butcher shop for 2 days a week, and trying to juggle both, and then realizing I was just butchering was for me.
And out of curiosity, like when you first started, did you feel it was like there was some sort of resistance to you being there, or were people very welcoming? Or
The only resistance was not because I was female, but just because I was a new person. Right. So I had three bosses, and I was their only employee. And my boss, Brent, was really resistant at first, just because he didn't trust me. I was new. But I remember actually being in the backyard of Roberta's while they were celebrating their opening the business, and drunk Tom again made me arm wrestle other women.
Tom is coming out of this segment so well.
I like how it's drunk Tom.
Well, drunk Tom's a different person. There's drunk Tom and then there's Tom. But yeah, drunk Tom was having all the women arm wrestle each other. So I unfortunately did participate in that as well.
And that's sort of the reason for this show.
Yeah.
Drunk Tom was having all
exactly,
the women.
Here I am.
Well, there was a big article recently about why there aren't a lot of female executive chefs, and they meant like in bigger places like hotels and things like that, and they asked a lot of people, a lot of company owners, and they came back like the companies had a lot of people, they had a lot of females that were top ranking officers in the companies, and the female people in the company said, women just don't want to do work like this, you know, on the most part. It's not like they have a glass ceiling in front of them. They just don't want to, you know. And I would imagine a lot of women would hear that you're a butcher, and they'll be like, oh, God, like, no way. There's no way I could do that.
A lot of men would say the same thing, though.
A lot of men would say the same thing, yeah. But I that's one of the things that I was interested to hear. Ingrid, maybe you can talk about that a little bit. Like, do you find that a lot of other women say that, no, they wouldn't want to do what you do? Do the hours that you do, the lifting, the time on your feet, the time away from your kid?
Well, it was very random for me how I became a chef, or decided to become a chef. I was modeling first. I was in the industry of being pretty and looking pretty and don't talk back, just sit in front of a camera and smile.
That's why I hired you.
Exactly. Well,
smile, sweetheart. You look beautiful.
I'm going to come to that point then. But I traveled the world, and I decided that I wanted to. There was food all over the world that I tasted, and I wanted to know how to make it. Not necessarily because I wanted to be a chef. I thought I was going to marry a rich man and host parties, and then have this beautiful wife that can cook and can do everything. But then I moved back to New York, came back to reality, and I realized that actually I can do this, and I can work a job, and I can do this. And I was a mom, and I was a single mom, and everybody was like, you're insane, do something else, be a nurse or work as a secretary somewhere. And I was like, no, I don't want to do that, that's boring. I don't want to sit down in a fucking office and look at people and say, hi, how you doing, thank you for calling. So I decided that I was going to go out and start looking for a place. It was very difficult. I came from a big background with my cooking and all what I know. But nobody wanted to give me an opportunity. First of all, I walked in with a stiletto and
that's
a jacket.
That's how they get the job.
That's not a kind of knife.
And a jacket, talking that I am here for the interview. And it was like, what interview? I was like, you know, to be the sous chef. They was like, okay, can you cook? Do you know how to handle a knife? And when they even saw me did that, they still didn't believe I was capable to do it. And I had this random guy call me up because he liked my name, Ingrid. Paul Gerard right here.
You're Ingrid.
He's like, I want to see what Ingrid looks like. Let's call her in. fault.
It was because of your resume. Come on.
Yeah. He told me eventually, he was like, I actually hire you. I actually had asked you to come in because your name, Ingrid, I thought was a blonde, blue-eyed girl.
I categorically deny.
We had a webcam right now because there are beetroots that are not the color of Paul Gerard.
Do tell. Let's hear the rest of this.
And I did have a hard time. I mean, the kitchen was run by Mexicans, and I walked in there, and I'm a black goddess that walks into this room. I spoke your language, and I would say to you, I speak Spanish, and they wouldn't realize that someone like me spoke Spanish.
That's the best thing.
So I walked in, and they would talk about me, and they was like, she doesn't do it. Paul was always challenging me. You tell him what to do. And I'd be like, I don't know, because he doesn't want to hear me. He's like, I don't want to hear it. Don't come back to me until he starts doing what you tell him to do. And I would go there, and I speak to them in English, and they'd be like, whatever. Esa vieja no sabe lo que dice. And then I'll be like, ah, yes, yo soy la vieja. Listen to me. Move your ass. Do this. Okay, fuck out of here.
You got to call yourself El Bruja. Like, I'm the bruja. I'm the witch now.
La bruja.
We're going to hear more from everybody after the break, but we have to go to a commercial right now. So come back and see us.
Saved by the bell.
To see Paul Gerard filleted.
Thank God for breaks.
Today's music is by Hard Bodies on HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
Since 2001, Heritage Foods USA has sold pasture-raised, antibiotic-free heritage meats to restaurants and homes around the country. Our farmers raise their animals with care using traditional methods guaranteed to produce the very best-tasting meat. Our pork breeds include Berkshire, Red Wattle, Duroc, Gloucester Old Spot, Large Black, and Tamworth, and our beef comes from Piedmontese, Angus, Akiyushi, Belgian Blue, Highland, Simmental, and Belted Galloway cattle. We also carry a rotation of 24 rare breeds of heritage chicken, seasonal specialties like lamb, goat, geese, and of course, heritage turkeys. Visit us online at www.heritagefoodsusa.com or give us a call at 718-389-0985 to place your order today.
All right, everybody, welcome back. The redness from my face has subsided a little bit. We're sitting here with some very lovely ladies who are very talented in what they do, and it is definitely our pleasure to give them a moment to talk about their careers and what they're doing with them. Kitty, we were about to talk to you about some of the things that you've experienced being in the front lines, being in the bars, especially where alcohol is concerned. It's got to affect people.
Yeah, for sure. Actually, that was a bit of a relief at Exchange Alley that we didn't have hard liquor, because I didn't have to worry as much about getting people like shit canned and then like having to throw them out. But it was nice having Matt Hanley around, because he was like 6'6", and you know what, like
we always had your back.
Yeah. And then you chased that old woman down once because she walked out on her check.
I remember when Lava was
my bouncing.
Phenomenal.
Give me the $6.
No, it was like $46. You're like, fuck that. I'm getting my shit.
I got her to pay.
Bounded out the door. Yeah, she never showed her
and
face.
So no woman with a Zimmer frame is getting away from me, right?
She can waddle off.
Yeah, so
I mean, I feel like, Kitty, you're like in your position, it's particularly because you've got all those, like, you know, the Friday, Saturday night drinkers, which, for me anyway, is like
Irish people, like, drinking's just a way of life, like it is for the Italians, or, you know, we can
everybody.
Do no, but we can do two drinks on a Tuesday night, yeah. And not, you know, but it seems like there's a very get hammered mentality sometimes in this city, like no one just goes out for two drinks. And I feel like when you're a bartender, you're getting that, and then maybe you're getting some stuff from the boys who think, you know, girls don't make drinks, they carry drinks.
Yeah,
you know?
All the time. Yeah, it's a large responsibility, because you do really have to sort of keep an eye out on, like, each individual person, because, I mean, you are ultimately responsible. If that person leaves your bar and gets in legal trouble, they can cite your bar for being the place that overserved them. So that's a huge responsibility. As far as girls making drinks and not carrying them, I used to get that shit all the time. People are like, can you make a martini? And I'm like, well, of course I can make a martini. Did you want it up or on the rocks?
I know.
Do you want a vodka or gin? Do you want it dry or wet?
Can you make something without using apple puckers? Is basically
yeah. Or all the time. Like, do you even know what a Sazerac is? I'm like,
but you know, it's that thing where people think you can't wear lipstick and be a feminist, and those things aren't mutually exclusive.
Largely, it's men. It's usually men.
Yeah, because that voice you did sounded like it was a woman's voice.
Yeah, it did. It did.
No, that was Adam's voice.
That was my voice.
He's got the hair and apparently the slim ankles.
And quite frankly, he's budding from where I'm sitting.
I am. I'm lactating, actually. Just cut to the point. But do you also find it, like, I'm assuming it's a hindrance for, you know, if you're going to be a bartender, if you're going to enter sort of the realm dominated by guys, by males, do you find that it's a bit harder for you? Do you have to go the extra mile to kind of prove yourself, to prove your salt, to prove your minerals? You know, pick up the heavy keg, or, you know,
yeah,
curse
absolutely.
The guy out who's...
Must be able to lift over 40 pounds.
Exactly. Absolutely, yeah.
It goes kind of around the board, I'm sure, for somebody who's working as a chef, or as a butcher, or as a bartender, but for all women involved in this industry, right?
I mean, I'm personally really strong. We had, like, some death stairs at Exchange Alley. They were all different heights.
All by Rick Moranis, that asshole.
All different heights, all extraordinarily steep, and... You know, chef, you know, in an effort to be helpful, would be like, hey, why don't you have the guys help you out? And I'm just like, no, fuck it. It's easier. I'll just do it myself. I got this.
Give me more. Right away.
Yeah, exactly. Because unlike Ingrid, I'm actually not very good at telling people what to do. So I would rather just take care of it myself.
That was the end of that story. She got very good at telling people what
to
do.
Yeah, yeah. Oh,
she got a little
I've
too good at it.
I've seen it. No, she would terrify me. She would terrify me.
That's one of the reasons why I really love having women around me a lot, because, you know...
one of the many. This is the Christmas list over here.
No, but it's nice. I mean, like, you know, I know that you're all perfectly capable of doing anything that a man can do, but, you know, one thing that a man can't do for me is to be some sort of a moral compass. And you know, I like having you around. You definitely tell me... what I need to know when I need to know it. A lot of guys aren't going to come in my face and tell me what I need to know.
And
a lot of guys are going to come in your face.
She stole it right out of my mouth. No, but I'm talking about
at work. That's in my personal time.
In the extra special blowjob room in the basement.
The one with the tinkering light.
I feel dirty. That was nothing to do with me, and I somehow need a bath.
Yeah, and this is a room full of women. There's only two guys here, so I thought I was going to be out of my element. But you guys are doing all the dirt.
What would you say some of your hindrances are in the business? Is it that glass ceiling that everybody talks about? Is it you know? Is it
well, just kind of backing up a little bit. Besides guys coming in your face, I mean, it's hard to get
two
past quotes. That.
It's hard to get past
it
that.
It is definitely hard, but I think. Part of what I have found is that it's easier sometimes for women to relay information where you can tell people, you can say, like, shut the fuck up, do this thing, you need to do this better, or you need to, you know, work harder or faster, whatever it is that needs to happen. But you can also sort of finesse the information sometimes. So you can talk to people who are your bosses in a different way. Instead of blowing up, instead of saying, like, I don't like the way this is happening, you can approach the situation in a slightly more diplomatic way and get what you want and get your point across without having to just be quite as dramatic.
Aggressive.
Yeah, and that's kind of like what I was getting at. You said it a hell of a lot more eloquently than I did, but I would rather get information like that. You know, it's the more flies with honey thing, you know.
Well, I'm more mean that you can be manipulated a little bit more easily.
Yeah. It's true. It's so sad, and it's
but
true.
By a pretty face, I'm okay with that. I'll accept that.
Yeah, there's
can
a
you pick
sexism.
Up this ham for me? This is my boob on your arm.
Yeah, ham? What do you need? A ham? Dresser? What was it? A dresser? Or a refrigerator?
I got it.
How big's the fridge? It was a ham at first. It turned into a refrigerator.
You do definitely. I mean, sometimes there are things that, you know, obviously, like, you have to be able to lift everything that every guy can lift. If you're a butcher or a bartender or a chef or whatever, you have to be able to do the exact same job that any man could do. Yeah. There are definitely times where I'll say, hey, you're so big and strong. Yeah. Go ahead and do this thing. But, because I'm busy and I don't feel like doing it.
It works every time, doesn't it?
Every single goddamn time.
Do we have, Paul, that equivalent? Do we have, like, hey, you have...
No. So no, we don't.
Fingers.
Can so you actually,
fix this fax machine for me?
No, you don't have that. But you also get paid 20% more for the same jobs.
Yeah, and you don't have to work as hard.
Yeah,
exactly. You don't have to be twice. Once you leave work, it's over.
Yeah,
but we
I don't
are
know,
still
though.
Mothers and sisters and daughters, so we still have to continue our life. There's you guys get to leave and just go and have a drink. We have to go home and still be moms and sisters.
And women walking down the street
exactly.
being catcalled.
It depends if you have Danny Tanner at home. I don't know who you got at home.
Yeah.
No, but it's true. You know, if you take, you know, it still happens. Like, in this day and age, you're effectively punished if you decide to have a baby. And people aren't allowed to ask you, but they do. If you're at a certain age bracket, they are looking at you like, she's going to want to have a baby in the next year or two, so I might just hire that 27-year-old or that 26. Like, that happens, whether you agree with that or think that's true or
that's
not.
Nothing
no man ever had to worry about if
Arnold Schwarzenegger, the movie's called Junior, 1994, Paramount Pictures. I believe he had a lot to worry about.
Well, mainly his co-star was Hugh Grant, so that was probably the
you just got to take it on the chin, and that way you don't...
Are we back to that?
Yeah, we're back to that. I wanted to come... And scene.
But it is true, you know, like, men don't have to worry about that the way...
Yeah, but have any of you... Do you experience that you get paid less? I know you didn't get paid less. You didn't get paid less.
No, I negotiated my own salary because I thought I deserved more, and I did.
And you got it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that
is
a statistic.
But I've got 12 years of experience. Yeah. I mean, you also have to fight for yourself. I think that there's a bit of a trap in women falling into the, well, I get paid 20% less thing, because, like, I don't know, this might be going against everybody, but I feel like it's my own responsibility to, like, take charge of my own life.
And
so
to show your worth, to kind of make it.
Yeah, like, I decided when we were opening Exchange, you know, and I had asked our acting manager at the time, like, what was the plan for shift pay, and I went home and I thought about it, and I was like, no. I'm bringing 12 years of experience into this restaurant. I'm creating these cocktails, which, you know, I'm very happy to do and I love doing, because that, you know, lets me, you know, express my creative side. But I'm worth more. And so I spoke with Chef and he agreed. And that was my responsibility to take care of myself. I mean, you can't just wallow in it. You kind of have to be proactive.
No, but you don't really go around. Well, I can speak for myself. I don't go around trying to think about he's getting more paid than me.
Right.
Or he's doing better than me, because I know I can kick ass.
Yeah.
So,
but I think you're the exception. That's why you own a restaurant and you are the head chef of your own restaurant.
Well, because I made myself
the
exception.
Yeah, because you did that.
But that's what I'm saying. You did it.
Exactly.
You were like,
I'm not
just
going around. I mean, I was pregnant with the little one when I worked in a restaurant. And people looked at me and said, like, you're going to work and you're standing 18 hours. I was like, yeah, I'm pregnant. Not
that makes
dead.
You just as
not
much stronger.
I'm not dying. I'm having a baby.
Yeah.
And even after my water broke, and I still continue working.
Yeah.
And I finished my shift.
Of course
right
you did.
It's no, like a Monty Python film. The baby just fell out right there.
The kitchen porter at this point
Juan,
is
the
like,
purchaser,
I'm
ran up and picked it up and packed it away in the walk-in.
Placenta.
No, but I knew that what I am doing, I'm very good at it. So I'm not worried about what he's getting paid or what this other person is getting paid. I know what I'm worth, and I'm going to fight, and I'm going to show the person that I deserve it. And if I feel like I don't appreciate it, then I move on.
Yeah, well, that's the conversation I have with a lot of girlfriends of mine, because they'll call me up and they'll be like, oh, well, what should I ask for? And I'm like, know your worth. Like, a lot of the time with women, they just don't know their worth, and it's that softer side, and they don't want to negotiate, and they don't want to be too greedy. And I'm like, you need to ask for 10 grand more than what you want, and then you might get something close to what
worth
you
it.
Actually want.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you know what? In this business, it goes the same way, because I remember when I was working at Bayona in New Orleans for Susan Spicer, when my daughter was born, she took me into the office, and she said, I'm going to give you a raise. And she said, don't tell anybody, so I'm telling everybody on the radio. She said, don't tell anybody, because you're going to be the highest paid person in the kitchen. And she bumped me up from $9 an hour to $9.50 an hour. And this was, I was 26 years old, and, you know, that's shit. You know, like, after taxes, that's a little bit over $300 a week with a newborn baby. But I knew that if I served my time for her, now, you know, that's a shine on the resume. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody sees it and says, oh, you did all that time at Bayona and you worked for Susan. That's what I was there for. I wasn't there for the money, so I earned my keep so I could eventually make a hell of a lot of money.
But when it comes down to it, like, as the ending notion of this whole thing going to be like James Brown? Is this a man's world? Do you see a prospect in the future for any young female professional trying to enter these fields and trying to, like, are they going to find the same walls, the same hurdles, the same hindrances?
Well, it is a men's world, but the women run it better.
Of course. Iceland is showing that right now, I believe.
I feel like there's nothing else that needs to be said in
the well,
men's
world.
Okay, that's that.
I just hope that we won't have to have this conversation in 10, 20 years. Yeah. It won't be absolutely like, oh my God, you're a woman and you do this thing. It'll be like, oh, you're a person and you fill this job.
We're still coming a long way. And honestly, the women's movement itself is not that old. You know, like I remember my mother telling me that when she got out of high school, so this was, geez, I don't know, 40 years ago? I'm really bad at math. But not so long ago, she got out of high school, married her high school love, who beat the shit out of her. And she would run to the police station for help, and they would say, oh, honey, just go home and fuck him. It'll be okay. Oh, wow. Like, that was normal advice, you know?
Yeah.
And here we are, like, I just was reading a book on running, and they were talking about women's running shoes weren't made in the 80s. They just started making
what do you need
men's
to run for?
Running shoes. Oh, shut your face.
What do you need to run for?
They made stay men's the running kitchen. Shoes. They made men's running shoes in pink.
My like, mother wanted to go to college, and her father said, no, it's going to be a waste of money because exactly. You're going to get married and get pregnant, and then that's that.
That kind of thing. Yeah, we're still working, and we've come a long way, and I think that we need to continue to teach the women of the next generation that you got to keep pushing.
So what would be your final, if we go around the room quickly, what would be your final piece of advice to anybody who wants to get into your field?
Well, I always say to everybody, I don't consider myself a woman in the industry. And once you don't consider yourself a woman in the industry, you just fit in. Yeah. But if you keep thinking about, well, I'm a woman and this and that, you're never going to fit in because it's not about them. It's about you.
You're
how
chef.
Do you feel? That's it. I'm a chef. I can cook. And that's all that matters.
Sarah? Be smart. Don't doubt yourself. You can definitely lift as much as you can.
And Kitty?
If you want it, go for it. You know, the worst they can tell you is no, and you move on and find the next one. Keep moving, keep pushing. It's ultimately up to you.
Well, thank you so much, ladies.
Yes, thank everybody for coming out here today.
Thank you.
Be sure to check out the Meat Hook, and be sure to check out Itel Kitchen if you want like some of the best of the best. And we'll see you all next week.
And look for Kitty's films.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm
on the 4milecircus.com.
Producing and starring in some films. They're pretty great.
Out of the industry.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, I still love it. There's a place in my heart.
Thank you all for coming.
Cheers.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.